You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that, Lady Greta told me, down by the coal creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty, beer in the tackle box, out on the flat rock. Big Mac hook with only the right look, lure in the sunshine, ripples in the sweet tide, rubber's going out of sight, even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner, cause I kinda like them big, and I don't mind.
Good morning, Fishing fans, this is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM and AM 770 here in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live from anywhere at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It's producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my guest co-host all the way from Texas, author, angler, Murray Richter. Hey, Murray.
Good morning, y'all.
So exciting to have you here in the studio, and thanks for coming to Southwest Florida all the way from Texas to be here. I mean, I know you had other things going on aside from Real Talk Radio, but it's great to have you here. So
it's fantastic. It is. I love what you've done with the place, Captain Debbie.
And you got out to do some fishing yesterday.
We did.
So
we
went out of Matt Lachey, correct?
Correct.
So, and you went out with Jake from Angling for Relief, correct?
Correct. And his father, John, fantastic people. I've known him for years. We'd never met. So that was the first time we got to get together and meet and just had a fantastic time, caught some specks. And
that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And remind me, what's Jake's last name?
Klopfenstein.
Klopfenstein. Okay. Correct. And he and his parents that founded Angling for Relief for pediatric cancer?
Correct.
That's
was Jake
correct.
Himself, and
yep.
He had a friend that passed away years ago, and it really frustrated Jake that he couldn't fish with his friend anymore. So it's outstanding, the organization. They go in and they teach kids in hospital beds how to dry fish and how to tie knots, and then when they're released, the guides take them out fishing.
That's so awesome.
Which is something neat to kind of tie in here, too, is they're looking for some more guides in this area, so that might be something we can talk about.
Yeah,
kind of
most
that.
Definitely. We'll get into that. I can't wait to get into our conversation to talk about your most recent book, Fishing for Luck, and just to talk about all your fishing experiences growing up and how you got your kids involved in fishing and all that good stuff. So in the meantime, we're coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in beautiful downtown Estero, Florida, and we'll be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. If you're not able to listen to the entire show or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows, you can head on over to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page at ESPNSWFL.com. Text line is open this morning. Go ahead and shoot us a text, 239-337-3776. Let us know what you've been out there catching over this past week. That weather has definitely been warming up, and I know the bite has turned on. So let's see those fish pictures. Send us a text and let us know how you did this past week. I'm going to run through the weather and tides here real quick this morning. So, yeah, weather for today, sunny, high near 87, breezy with an east wind, 7 to 17 miles an hour with gusts as high as 21 miles an hour. So you definitely have some wind going on today, and that will affect the tides a little bit. I'll get into that in a minute. For tonight, Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 66. East winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, sunny, high near 87. East-southeast winds, 6 to 14 miles an hour with gusts as high as 18. And then for tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 66. East-southeast winds, 6 to 8. And then looking at the rest of the week, we're right in the mid-80s through Friday. So right around 85, 86 for a high. So that's really good for fishing to see those nice stable temperatures. For tides, and as always, remember the tides I read off on air are for Big Carlos, Estero Bay. This morning, your best bet's going to be out there fishing that incoming. High tide was this morning right around 2:13 a.m., and that was 1.9, and then we've got low tide at 8:05 a.m. this morning, and that's right at 0.2. And then your high tide, 2:32 this afternoon, 2 feet. and your low tide at 8:40, and that's just over mean low tide at 0.1. So yeah, either fishing that incoming this morning right around 9:30 to 1 p.m. is going to be your best moving water. We do have a pretty strong east wind, or we're going to have a pretty strong east wind, so that is going to slow down that incoming a bit. You can also get out there and you're going to have a really good pushing outgoing from about 3:30 until about 7 p.m. And then for tomorrow, real similar situation, you're going to want to fish that incoming right around 10 a.m. to about 1:30 or 2, or that outgoing from about 4 p.m. until about 8 or 9. That outgoing tide tomorrow, again, going to be a really nice pushing outgoing tide, a really good tide if you're out there getting those crabs for permit near shore. So get out there and take advantage of it. All right. So, Murray, oh my gosh, your book, Fishing for Luck, came out last year, 2021, during the pandemic. And you obviously have a lot of experience. You grew up fishing in Texas. You've gotten your kids involved in fishing. So talk just a little bit about how you got into fishing and, you know, who kind of got you out there on the water when you were a kid and how you fell in love with it.
Sure. We were extremely blessed to grow up down in Port Aransas. We had a beach house that we lived at during the summers pretty much. And I had a hook in the water, I'd say 94.6% of the time down there.
Nice.
My people would forget to bring me food sometimes, so I'd have to go back to the beach house. But we had a great time, and it actually came up a couple of weekends ago, Valentine's Day weekend. I went to see my mom and my sister and her family, and someone brought up the beach house, and my sister Meredith said that every now and then someone would look around and say, "Hey, where's Murray?" And my mom would say, "Do you have to ask?" It was a fantastic time. But 2 weeks
like
out
you
of,
know where he is.
Yes.
He's out there with his fishing rod.
Absolutely. So 2 weeks out of each year, they would send me to Lake Whitney, beautiful Lake Whitney. You and Greg got to come out. It's Blue Water Lake, limestone cliffs, stripers.
Sounds amazing.
Yes, yes, great people. And but they'd send me to, they called it Camp Murray, which mm-hmm. was my Papa and Mama Kay, my grandparents. And Papa, the only thing he loved more than, I'd say, Dallas Cowboys football and his Old Crow whiskey was fishing. So we would go out, and the rules didn't apply to Papa. So he had this big tank of a car, like a town car, I think it was, and he would drive it onto the golf course, and we would fish the ponds there in Whitney.
Nice.
And golf balls would sail by, and people putter past in their fancy pants.
Golf so you're clothes pulling and some big old bass out
oh,
of
yeah,
those
yeah.
ponds, for and sure.
No hook smarts in there, yeah. So, and no one, people would just come by and say, "Hey, Charlie," and hey, fellas, good afternoon. It was just neat and fun and outstanding. So I would say
That's
Papa
cool.
was the one that really hooked me in.
That is awesome. That's awesome. We're actually going to head over to line one because we've got Captain Rob Modi standing by, who has also recently published two books. So let's grab Captain Rob's call here. He's on line one. Hey, Rob. Good morning.
Another COVID book writer. Awesome.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. I know you two have some things in common for sure.
Yes. Yes, we do. I don't want to take any of Nick's time away. I wanted to call early because I wasn't able to call the last 2 weeks. We've been traveling, and we're going to travel today. We're doing something else today.
Well, good for you guys. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
I know it's amazing. Saturdays have long. Well, you know this. 11 years worth of long been tied up at the radio show.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, and honestly, in this time of year in Florida, February, March, April is when everybody does all the outside festivals and all that stuff happen, obviously, on Saturday and Sunday. And, so it's nice just to be able to take part in that kind of thing. So.
Well, good for you. Glad to hear you and Jonelle are getting out there and enjoying it after many, many years of being right here in this seat in this studio. Good for you.
Right. Okay, what's the title of the book?
It's called Fishing for Luck. And it's a it's a YA book, so it's geared towards Murray. I'll let you jump in here. So talk a little bit about Fishing for Luck. Give Rob a little scoop.
Sure, it's middle grade to YA, so it's I would say middle grade humor. A couple of arcs in it is to make sure you kind of get everything figured out before you worry about something. I think these days more than ever, that's super important, you know, for kids. So on that end, it's middle grade humor too, for hospitalized kids to kind of give them a rabbit hole, get away from the situation for a little bit as well.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I like the title. I like the title. That's really good. So, and as my publisher said, the title's what it's all about. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's great. So how did you, I mean, was this, like mine was, it's COVID. I can't do anything. I'm sitting in the house. I announced to my wife, I'm going to write a book. She goes, really? And that's where it started. How did you start? How did you begin this?
This is my second book. My first one was years ago. I had just started putting things in a accordion file, just smart things that my grandparents or uncles or aunts or whatever told me to kind of pass along to the kids. And then I took a memory class and the next day forgot everything from the class except for to pass something along. They said a lot of cultures will do stories or songs. And so that sparked me to kind of put all that together. And then I kind of picked that up, put it down for years until I realized who really needed it was a hospitalized kid. I was pre-med for years, and it always heard that laughter was the best medicine, and that kind of put the afterburners on the first book was when
that's
I realized,
awesome.
Yeah, a kid needed it. And,
that's awesome.
Yes, sir. So
that is. That's really great. I can't wait
good
to get
you.
Into more
good
about that.
You.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, Rob.
Well, I'm not,
yeah, we got
I'm
Nick
gonna,
standing by
know,
online
and
too.
I don't want to stomp on his time or anything. So, but and Danelle and I got to get ready to get out of here. But it's good to talk to you guys, and congratulations on both of your books.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling in, Rob. It's always great to hear from you. So, you guys enjoy your day, and we'll catch up soon. Take care.
We will.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye bye. That is Captain Rob Modi's calling in from Fort Lauderdale. Always great to hear from him, and we're gonna head over to line two. And we're going to grab Nick Davis from 239 Flies. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Captain Debbie, Nick, how are we?
Yeah, it's Captain Debbie and Murray in the studio
Captain
this morning.
Captain Murray, I'm sorry. For some reason, I was seeing...
You were visualizing yourself being here in the studio this morning.
And I could have swore you had your guest name in the studio today was Nick. So I apologize for that, Murray.
No problem.
I really do.
I've been called a lot worse.
I was trying to text Rob at the same, like, you take your sweet time, buddy. Like, you, I'm just sitting out back here having a cup of coffee listening to you guys talk. It's kind of nice.
So, Nick, what's new? What's the latest? What's the fishing reports that are coming into the shop? And what's the scoop from 239 Flies?
My goodness. We've got some fishing reports in the shop, and we've got some fishing
I had a feeling you
outside
might.
The shop. We've got happenings at the shop. There's all sorts of stuff coming. Like,
love it.
Sprung, and it's a lot of fun. So, fishing report from the shop. Nick and Pat fished a bunch this week. A lot of redfish around. Water's heating up. The snook are starting to show up on the beach. Water's not quite clear enough to really get after them yet. You know, they did some running along Key Wade and found some cleaner pockets. And, you know, before we left for Charleston this week, we saw a couple of, or we stopped by the beach last week and the water just wasn't quite clear enough yet. So I honestly think we get a couple of big tides this week and we're going to be beach snook fishing by the end of next week. So get ready. That's coming. Step two, Jimbo and Leanne, his wife took the week off and went down to Key West, and Jim caught a beautiful 8-pound bonefish.
Nice.
On a,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Really
wow.
Good
way
really
to
good
go,
one.
Jim. That's so awesome.
He's got a great picture of it. Just, I mean, like, huge grin on his face. Like, great, now we got to deal with this. Really, really, really good fish. And it was really windy yesterday, and so he was able to get out and make it happen. Went out with Captain Max, and I forget Max's last name, but I'll share that on the website when I get that picture up. But
yeah, because people will be asking about that, an 8-pound bonefish.
Yeah. Where did you catch that 8-pound? What part of Southwest Florida did you catch that 8-pound bonefish?
Right.
Exactly.
Like, well, but. And Courtney and I ventured up to Charleston this week and got out with one of my longtime buddies, Captain Ryan Rogers, and saw some redfish doing some really cool redfish stuff that I really don't see redfish do down here. You know, tailing, schooled up, just balled up in the back of marsh creeks, just,
yeah,
you know, expansive views that don't, you know, get more than about 3 feet high off the water. Just really cool fishing. And we did not have, I needed your book, Murray, because there was no luck involved in that day.
Oh, man.
Not a single drop of it. I mean, I must have made six casts at fish where I'm like, an Estero Bay redfish would have ate that presentation. And just a lot of blow-ups and a lot of, nope, we're good. So Ryan was explaining it to me afterwards that just when the water's cold like this and it's right in that transition period, we haven't gotten there yet. So fishing's really tough. And it was, but it was really fun. It was really cool to see a very different area than our area. And, you know, see our same fish in it. So,
hey, and as our friend Crazy Alberto would say, sometimes you just got to embrace the skunk.
That's right. That's absolutely right. It was.
It happened.
It had been a minute since we had been skunked, going after redfish, but it was pretty fun. It was definitely a different experience. So I'm glad we did it. I know a lot more about what you need to do next time. So we'll be on it, but.
Very cool. Well, and just getting out and doing that fishing, that kind of fishing in the marshes is completely different from the fishing that we do for redfish here around oyster bars and mangroves. I mean, it's a whole different game, obviously, as you saw. So I'd love to get up and do that one of these days. Yeah.
It's so pretty.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's almost like you put in like in the middle of town and then you run for 5 minutes and you're in the middle of the Everglades. Only it doesn't look like the Everglades. It looks like, you know, it looks like Charleston. It's just beautiful low country, reeds, marsh, just absolutely stunning. I mean, just beautiful fishery. And it could not look more different than here.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're still red fishing. And they've got some big redfish. Like the average, you know, the average redfish here, you know, we'll say in Estero Bay, they're big redfish in Estero Bay, you know, 23 to 27, you know, good fish in Estero Bay.
Yeah.
The average fish we saw scooting through the creeks up there was, you know, pushing 30. Just, I mean, I had my hand going, like, Ryan, am I outgunned? He's like, yes, but I want to see where this goes.
So Nick, what depth water, I mean, are you fishing? Is it, it's pretty shallow, right? Like, are we talking 3 to 5 feet on average, or like what depth? And super clear water, right?
It was pretty, I mean, it was a little bit cloudy, and that was part of what was working against us. But you would go into these little creek mouths, and you'd go up, basically a river, a small little river, small little creek, and you'd go over a couple of oyster bars, and then you'd push, and at just about at every fork, you would, you know, come to an oyster bar, come to a bank, and you would look, because the fish were moving in between, in the deeper water, you know, in the straightaways, but then where, you know, there's a fork, you know, you've got some water coming together, one side's going to be shallow, one side's going to be a little bit deeper, and you know, you could see the fish in a foot to two, and then on the banks that were 3 to 4, you know, they weren't in. And Ryan was telling us, you know, we could throw some intermediate line and dredge those, you know, deeper pockets and probably catch some rat reds. And it's like, no, we're not here for that. But
yeah.
So
you were
going big or
going home.
we were trying to catch a 35, 36 inch, you know, sight fish red. So
yeah.
We had plenty of opportunity to catch, you know, smaller fish, but that's not what we were there to do. So,
well, if it makes you feel any better, Nick, yesterday we fished out of Matt Lachey, I believe it's called.
Okay,
not Matt LeBlanc, right? That's different. But I had a snook on the hook about, I'd say, 50 incher, give or take 30 inches, and it spit the hook.
Goodness.
So I don't know if that makes you feel better.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that would have been an absolute monster. Snook, you said 50 inches?
No, give or take 30 inches.
Give or take 30. I didn't hear that part. I was looking down at my notes. Yeah, okay. Well, yeah.
Give or take 30. Well done. I'm gonna.
Nice.
I'll definitely use that one. I'll put your namesake on that one, Murray.
Anytime.
Oh, my goodness.
Couple of, uh, couple fun things happening at the shop this month, and then I'll let you go. We got a casting clinic with Captain Debbie Hansen and Joe Mahler.
Hey. Yes.
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. Looking forward to
that
it.
That starts at 11. It is at 239 Flies HQ. Show up, have a great time. They've always been a big hit. People have always really enjoyed the seminar. They've always learned something. We're throwing big rods at learning how to throw big rods at big fish. So if you are, you know, looking for to get into the 10-weight, 11-weight, 12-weight game, come by and see it. But also, you know, the tips translate and the knowledge translates to every rod in your quiver. So
yes.
Come by, check that out.
And folks definitely want to stop by and pick up some casting tips from Joe Mahler, because he is the fly casting instructor extraordinaire. That's my new term for him.
Oh. He could teach the tomato plant that I'm looking at in my
how to cast,
patio,
right?
Double haul at 60.
Seriously.
So,
truth.
He's phenomenal and very entertaining and just world-class good guy. So come by, get some knowledge, get some tips, hang out with the crew. And then lastly, our fly tying night this month has been posted on Facebook and on the website. It is going to be Wednesday, March 30th at 7 p.m. Bring your vise, bring your tools, bring your thread, a can-do attitude, and a beverage if you want to drink it.
Awesome stuff. Well, thanks for the update, Nick, and for calling in. And we will look forward to catching up with you next Saturday. And hopefully we'll see We'll see you at the shop. Are you going to be there next Saturday at the casting clinic?
Should be. Got to definitely orchestrating some things for North Carolina this week for our new fly shop, A28. So I plan to be there. But Jimbo will definitely be there all day. And so will Debbie and Captain Joe. Or I'm sorry, Captain Debbie and Joe.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Awesome. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning regardless, and hopefully we'll see you next Saturday morning. So you take care, Nick.
Sounds
have a great
good.
Rest of the week.
You guys do the same. Talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That is Nick Davis calling in from 239 Flies in the Beach Road Plaza in Bonita Springs. We're going to head off to our first break of the morning. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Just watching her blonde hair sunburn, stare at them white caps rolling over. Laid back in a thrift store beach chair, dropping limes in a Corona. But she looks back, yeah, she throws me a kiss like, honey, I sure want you. And it's 103 between her and me and only 92 in Daytona.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio online at ESPNSWFL.com. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, author, angler, Murray Richter.
Good morning.
How's it going over there in the co-host seat, Murray?
Excellent. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, you're just breaking into that breakfast sandwich. I mean, you know that breakfast is a big deal on this show, right?
Yes.
So we will expect a review of what you're dining on right now there in the co-host seat. That will be part of the equation.
Okay,
at
absolutely.
At some point this morning.
I will.
And thank you, Captain Greg, as always, for dropping off breakfast us here in the studio.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. And I normally police such things this close to bikini season, but when in Rome.
Yeah, especially when you're in Florida, right?
Right.
Yeah, and you're heading to the beach for the week. So I wanted to read something, Murray, because I think this is really awesome. When I flipped to the back of your book, Fishing for Luck, because I did read the whole thing all the way through the last chapter.
What?
I love this little about the author piece that's in the back of the book. It says, from the first second I held a fishing pole, I was hooked. To this day, I can't pass a body of water without wondering what kind of fish or bait are cruising around in it. I also love a joke and playing jokes on people, which is why I rarely answer my phone or open email around April Fool's Day.
Karma.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hence the 40-inch or the 50-inch snug comment that went right over my head. But I love that. So, I mean, obviously, no matter where you go and you come down here, you're visiting Florida and you pass all these amazing, you know, waterways. You're fishing the Gulf, you're down here, you're looking at all the canals and lakes. So do you have like a bucket list species or a place that you really want to fish someday? I mean, anything on your bucket list that it's like a must do from a fishing standpoint?
Absolutely. There's a few. One is going to get knocked off the bucket list tomorrow with you with it going down to the Glades.
The Everglades. I know. So, I can't wait. Right. I'm so looking forward to that. We're going to have a blast.
Yes. And I got put a little lemon in my green tea today so to beat the scurvy. So that's out of the way.
Sweet.
So,
yes. Great. Yes. Good deal. And, all right.
And green tea, if it tastes like dirt, it's good for you. So I guess. But that's one. Also, I want to fish Australia. That's if any of the listeners have any tips on watching great whites and like a cage dive down there. Would love to hear any input on that. So that's a goal for my third book that I'm working on. I'm going to give myself a trip to Australia to fish that. I don't want to fish for great whites. I just want to look at them and watch them.
So if anyone out there has done it, shoot us a text, 239-337-3776. Let us know. So you're looking for someone that, like an operation, a dive operation that does the cave diving for great whites out in Australia. And which part of Australia?
I'm not sure yet. I've been looking at it all. So I want to spend a lot of time there.
The Great Barrier Reef. So up in the northern part.
Right.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's really cool. I know I went to South Africa about 11 or 12 years ago. And some friends of mine did that, which was just insane. The pictures that they came back with were unreal.
I bet.
Unreal. Yeah. Needless to say, I sat that one out. But anyways. All right. I'm going to head over to line one because we've got Betty Bowman with Ladies Let's Go Fishing standing by. Hey, Betty.
Hi. Well, I'm unpacking from the freshwater seminar and getting ready to take Ladies Let's Go Fishing to Fort Myers all at the same time.
Well, it sounds like you're a busy lady.
Yeah, the ladies last weekend did very well. They released about 20 bass, almost all peacock bass this year. The weather was warm, and the fish showed up.
That's
great. Some ladies, for all of them, really, it was their first peacock bass ever. And we had ladies flew in from, like, Ohio, Georgia, and they were very excited to learn about how to release these beautiful species, and then the fish showed up. This was at Bass Pro Shops in Dania Beach.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Which you have to get special access to. Not everyone can fish there. So
right.
Yes.
We
so that's a really exciting.
That's what's so cool about it is there's nobody else there. Nobody can fish that lake.
Yeah.
And the fish are hungry.
Yep. Very cool. So were you guys fishing live bait primarily?
Yes, for peacock bass, you know, and especially in that lake, it seems like live bait works the best. We did have a few that were fishing with lures, but the live bait is what produced.
Yep. Well, that is fantastic. I'm glad you had a great turnout and had ladies coming from all across the United States. That's exciting stuff. And you're getting ready for your Ladies Let's Go Fishing seminar here, and that's on Saturday the 26th, correct?
Yes, and 27th is fishing. Class is very close to full. We have five slots left, and we're excited to hear you speak and John Federer, Rob Fusenecker, and like Brian Lynch is coming. You know, we have some other people that are going to be coming to help.
Awesome. Well, I am looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing and meeting the ladies, meeting some new ladies, seeing the ones that have been there in the past. So I'm definitely jazzed about that, and we'll be looking forward to that on the 26th. So, yeah, anything else coming up, Betty?
Yes, well, let me add that Amy Barrick is coming. She's going to be showing live shrimp, and people need to sign up in advance, especially if they want to fish, because the fishing is Sunday inshore, and the slots are limited, but it's all on ladiesletsgofishing.com. After that, we have May 6th to the 8th. Come over to Fort Lauderdale and learn to catch the offshore fish. Then we've got June 24th, 26th. That's fishing in the Keys, Isla Mirada. No seminar. That's just fishing. Saturday the 23rd, 24th, we've got bass fishing in Lake Wales at the Guy Harvey Outpost Resort. And there's a chance to get involved in an easy tournament. We've got pontoon boats for the ladies to fish from. That's very limited, and that's about half sold out already. Then October 7th through the 9th, we will be in the Keys again, Isla Mirada, with a full-day seminar of two parties and 1 to 2 days of fishing. Then November 19th to 20th, we will be surf fishing in St. Augustine. And in the meantime, we have virtual meetings, and anybody can sign up. There's usually some fantastic raffles, and it's all on the website.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome. Well, lots of opportunities, Betty, for ladies to get out there, to sign up and get out there on the water and learn some new skills. So thanks for calling in and giving us the report. We appreciate it. And I will see you very soon.
Working on our next auction. That should be online sometime next week. Great deal. So anybody can get involved with Ladies Let's Go Fishing. Y'all calm down now.
All right, Betty. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon. You take care.
I look forward to seeing you.
Yep. See you soon. See you on the 26th.
Steve Johnson's coming too, so it's going to be great.
Yes. Steve is the best. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that. And that's on the 26th and 27th. So you have a great rest of the weekend, Betty, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Carry on.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye. That is Betty Bowman calling in with Ladies Let's Go Fishing. So, Murray, we were talking about your bucket list trip, mm-hmm. your trip to Australia, that's one on your list. Do you mm-hmm. have any others? Any other?
Alaska.
Well, and aside from the Everglades, which we're going to do tomorrow, Alaska.
Right. Alaskan trip, yeah. We go fishing up there just for the halibut.
Ba-doom, boom.
But that would be neat, just the pictures and things that I've seen up there, the salmon runs and all that.
Yeah,
would be
it looks amazing. I know, that's a bucket list for me too. So tell me what inspired you to choose fishing as a backdrop, you know, fishing in the outdoors as a central backdrop for your books.
Oh, I just think it's a neat, powerful, healing thing. And there's so much that I've been given through it with my grandparents and uncles and father and brother-in-law that I loved. It was just so many neat memories, and it ties us to something that's so much bigger than us, you know, and so to be out in it. And that's what I think was really the big draw there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as far as, you know, some of the things, one quote that you have here in your book, I loved this too. You said, "Inspiration for the book stemmed from the desire to pass on all the smart things I've learned over the years to my kids and to all the children across the nation. As the stories grew, I also realized that they inspire children to enjoy the great outdoors, and it provides them with a reason to laugh. And I believe children's laughter is the coolest music in the world." So tell me a little bit about that quote. And, reading that you think children's laughter is the coolest music in the world, explain that. What exactly does that mean to you?
Okay. I would say one thing, not too long ago, I did a presentation at the Sims Library in Waxahachie, Texas. And afterwards, I was talking to the program director a couple of days, and she said that on the elevator, one of the kids said, "We just met someone famous." So, and then we laughed about that. And I think she laughed a little longer and harder than necessary. But I would say, I was thinking about it, and they were like, famous. But I think I was famous at one point. About 18 years ago, I'd say my kids were in that 2 to 4 range. Every joke was perfect. You know, the next thing on the agenda was constantly, what are we going to do next for fun? Right. And laughter filled the house. And I think that's where I got hooked on that end. And then what I'll do when I go do presentations in school, sometimes it's a whole school, sometimes it's a particular grade or writer readers group, whatever. My favorite is to have a classroom setting, and we'll have the couple of hours, hopefully, you know, on that end. And we'll do the presentation. And then after that, we'll have the kids reading, you know, a chapter at a time, and I'll be tying knots on the side mm-hmm. To teach fishing knots. And when a kid gets to that point and they start like getting tickled and cracking up, and it's a sort of a chain reaction, and the other kids do too, that is the deepest, most rewarding payment, you know, on that end that it's doing. To equate it to fishing would be like if you had some super rare hackle or some exotic furs and things, and then you went off path a little bit mm-hmm. on tying a fly,
mm-hmm.
and then you take that and trick a fish with it, that feeling of watching it do what it's born to do, it's like that times 1,000.
That is awesome. And that's what it's all about, is getting the next generation out there and introducing them to the outdoors. And obviously, you know, we were talking about your book coming out during the pandemic, and what a great opportunity for so many kids who maybe, you know, either they or their parents never really had the time to get involved with the outdoors and fish and hike and do all those things. I think it really created additional opportunities for that. And a lot of people realize just how valuable the outdoors was to many of us for, you know, peace, decompressing, our sanity.
Right. I 100% agree. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So has fishing ever helped you get through a challenging time in your life, or?
I would say, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Last year, as a matter of fact, there was a major life event that I endured on that end. And I would have to say that I'm also working on a book where I'm catching a fish in every county in Texas. So I'm out there a lot right now and meeting some fantastic people and seeing some parts of Texas I never have.
So you're seriously doing that? You're catching a fish in every county in Texas?
Yes. And to kind of teach kids where to go and how to do it and who to talk to and all that kind of good stuff. And I would notice as I was working through things coming back from some of the trips, it would be, I'd feel a little better, you know, about things. And I think it's the power of being out with something so majestic as a lake with waterfalls coming into it, or the ocean, to let you know God's got it all figured out. You know, we're just along for the ride. So there, you can't pack your problems in the trunk when you get there or stick them in the freezer like Joey did with The Shining on Friends. You know, they're going to stick around. So, but you can see them from a 10,000 foot overview and kind of help break them apart, you know, and you let them float down the river. And I think that was super helpful in healing on that end, and to get things kind of situated and in focus and perspective. And
yeah, we've talked about that a lot on the show. I think there's been, you know, pretty much everybody has had a time. Everyone who gets out there on the water and, you know, fishes or spends time on a boat can say, you know, wow, I was going through this really challenging period. And I got to say, if it wasn't for time spent on the water, I don't know how I would have made it through. Mm-hmm. You know, it was my saving grace for sure.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, we got to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida, online at ESPNSWFL.com.
A man walks down the street. He says, "Why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft?"
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest host, co-host, author, angler, Murray Richter, all the way from Texas.
Good morning.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy.
Howdy, y'all. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.
We're getting some text flowing in here this morning. So Tony Kloppenstein sent us a text of the trout that you guys caught yesterday, which is awesome. And Jake and John, I'm guessing that's Jake's dad.
Correct.
Yeah, it sounds like they're tuning in this morning. So shout out to them.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. What you were going to say?
Oh, just the fantastic family, great kid, solid. So I think if you're growing kids like that out here, the future of leadership in Florida fishing is bright.
Amen, right? I know. I've been following what Jake's been doing for a while, and that's just some really amazing stuff. Amazing young man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then we got a text from Captain Jamel. He said, "I am super notorious for looking at any waterways that I pass during my travels. In my head, I constantly say, I'd fish that, or I bet there's fish in there."
I'm not too proud.
He said, "I should do an audiobook and call it One More Cast, and every 30 seconds just say, okay, just one more cast." That's so funny. Thanks for texting in, Jamel. All right, we got Captain Jim Fortman holding on line one, so we're going to grab his call and see what's going on down in the 10,000 Islands. Hey, Captain Jim.
Hey, good morning, Debbie. How are you guys doing there?
We're doing great. How are things with you? You at the farmer's market this morning?
I am.
Nice.
I'm continuing my trend of taking Saturdays off.
Yeah, well, this time of year, you probably need a Saturday off here and there just to regroup. So what's going on down in your neck of the woods? Give us the fishing report.
Well, it's been dirty water, dirty water, dirty water. It's like kind of fishing in South Texas right now.
Embrace it.
Yeah. Nothing like fishing mud flats with 15, 20-mile-an-hour winds behind
it. Yeah.
Yeah, now the trout bite's been pretty good on the outside and on the middle bays right now. We've had some really low tides this week. We actually had a beginning half of the week, we had negative low tides. Those are all gone, so no one has to worry about bumping bottom on the way out. The bite is going to be the incoming tide all week long. The clean water is at the turn of the tide on the high tide. Unfortunately, this week it has been at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, so anybody that's been fishing in the afternoon bite, you know, and sunset bite, it's probably been on a better, you know, better bite with some cleaner water.
Mm-hmm.
The
good tip
for this week, yeah, we're going to be back to you know, outgoing tides, which is one of my favorite. That usually fires up the snook. They are trickling in this week, so not as strong of a bite as last week. Last week we had 76 water degrees. This week we're down into the 72, 71. Mm-hmm. Kind of turned off the big fish bite. We did have a big shout out to George this week with a 36.5-inch snook.
Wow.
Yeah. He dominated it. He got to feel what a 36.5-inch pull's like.
That is awesome. So George was one of your clients, obviously, Jim.
Yep, George is one of the clients.
And what did you guys get that snook on? What were you using?
Well, dirty water fishing, chunk baits. And I do suggest that highly for those bigger fish right now because that's what has been really getting them.
Are you using cut ladies or?
Yeah, cut lady fish, cut mullet right now. Or cut, that one actually came on a cut whiting. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whiting works well too.
Yep. There you go.
You know, the trout bite, when you find them, that has actually been a solid go-to right now. And if anybody wants to help clean out some of the sharks in the area, there have been quite a number of sharks. We actually saw a 10-foot hammerhead this week come by the boat. numerous bull sharks, a couple of black tips. The sharks really have been moving in. So anybody that's into shark fishing, please have at it.
And your GPS coordinates are...
any area south of Marco all the way to Key Largo, Flamingo.
Okay. Yeah, Marie, it's kind of hard to cage dive here in Southwest Florida for, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you could stand up on the flats.
Right.
Funny, we drove by a flat yesterday and there were some guys out there wade fishing on it. And my client was like, you ever do that? And I'm like, nope, I would never do that. I saw a 10-foot hammerhead right there. So, yeah, not one of the best ideas in our area to do that.
Not to mention, I'm sure there's a croc in your area every once in a while. I bet you see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we see them from time to time. We hear more of them than anyway. That's because they are up in the marshes, and you'll hear them croaking when you're in the back bays and whatnot. And a lot of these islands down there, they have saltwater marshes inside them. And that's where the crocs lie out. But here and there, you'll see them going from one island to the other. It's more common down south. If you're, you know, going down south, Barron River's got a couple of them. Down south of Cape Sable, I've seen quite a few down that way. So just remember, if you're going into the national park, people, make sure you got your permits. They are, you know, it is season right now, and the rangers are out and moving around, checking people out. So,
yeah. Good reminder, Jim. Good reminder. Yeah.
And just another reminder, if you're fishing dirty water, darker colors work best. You know, dark purple and pink has still been a really hot color. I'm actually heading to the stores because I'm running low. The dark olive and gold flash has been working really well. Browns are working really well in the dark water.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've been getting a lot of the short snook this week on. You know, that basically anything that can stand out in that darker water right now. And with these winds that are going to be happening this week that they're forecasting, hopefully the weatherman gets it wrong in the wrong right direction this week. it's probably going to be dirty water again, because it is mud flats, you know, that we're fishing in the 10,000 islands. So
yeah, so you're using when you're talking about those colors and primarily you're using your bucktail jigs still, Jim?
Or oh, yeah.
Yeah,
bucktail jigs are.
So you're tying them in those darker colors, and I'd imagine you've got a little bit of flash in there too.
Oh yeah, got a lot of gold flash in there. Also, gold spoons. Don't count those out, people. Okay. That's another one tipped out with the shrimp. And as far as the soft plastics, any of the paddle tails between 3.5 and 4 inches, that's what I primarily been getting a lot of the fish on. You know, it was funny, it's because we saw some kids out there yesterday. They were throwing some very large baits, trying to get the tarpon to bite. Tarpon kind of got lockjaw this week. If you remember last week, we're getting all ready for the tarpon that were coming in. It's because we did hook quite a few, but that water temperature dropped back down, and they kind of lockjawed on us. We actually were at one spot where we had them rolling all around us and just couldn't get one to bite. It's been one of those weeks, but it's always fun down in 10,000 islands. I mean, you see a lot, you get to experience, just the beauty of what Florida coastline looks like. So
yeah, definitely. Well, Jim, thanks so much for calling in and for the updated report. We definitely appreciate it. And stop down and see Jim at the Vanderbilt Farmers Market today. You're there until what time, Jim?
I'm here until about 1 o'clock.
So 1 p.m. All right.
If it looks like I am sleeping in the chair. It's probably because I am. Feel free to wake me up.
Just give him a kick.
It's been a long week. So we can doubles in full days.
Yep. All right, Jim. Well, thanks so much, guys. And we will catch up with you next Saturday. We appreciate it. You take care. No, have a great Sunday.
Thank you, guys.
Okay. Bye bye. That is Captain Jim Fortman calling in, and we are going to get ready to head off to another break. We're going to get ready to head off to another break. When we come back, stay tuned. We're going to talk about skunk apes. Listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Everybody's got a place they go when the old battery gets running low. I'm a sucker for the sand and sea. If I had my own way, hey, I'd always be way up high in a coconut tree, laying low with just my baby and me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.